Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, a comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every week. Don't we, Nathan?
Yeah, we sure do.
We sure do. He's Nathan. Like I said, I'm Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We're brothers. We read comics.
That's perfect.
There we go. What second take, everybody.
What a great intro. We definitely, that was the first take. We haven't tried again for
first
anything.
First try, you know, like always.
Yeah, Daniel didn't absolutely butcher it last time because he gets it right every single time. He practices in the mirror. He just told me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does not have any effect on my anxiety.
We have a projector, or what are those called? The teleprompter?
Yeah. I was like,
projectors.
Monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. Actually, we do the whole show with a teleprompter, and we just read off of it in a huge panic.
We don't know where the words come from. It just shows up.
Yeah.
Someone keeps sending it to the Trade Raiders Pod.
No. I pre-script both of what we're going to say, as well as our jokes.
Ah.
So as I'm reading this right now, we're reading off a monitor.
Yep.
For that's a little peek behind the scenes. But welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a good old week. We got tons of stuff to talk about. Lots of exciting things. We got some Eisner stuff going on. We got some movie stuff going on. And then we're going to talk about some Loki today, amongst other things. So
indeed,
we'll jump right into it with the news.
That's our first segment.
Our first segment. If you want to skip around, there will be time codes.
The first season of Sweet Tooth is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you know what we'll talk about the show obviously a little bit later, but I've noticed that when the title card comes up and it says like Sweet Tooth in the beginning of every episode,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of like a local like coffee brand or something.
I'd drink some Sweet Tooth coffee.
Yeah, I know. Like,
imagine the grounds are like a little sweet for some reason.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That's what it makes me think of. But anyway,
unrelated. Jeff Lemire, get on it.
Yes,
imagine he just had his own brand of coffee from a comic book that he made.
Buy it so quick, Daniel. You don't even realize.
I transitioned so quickly.
Gus's coffee. But yeah, that's good. It is certified fresh in my mind as well.
Yeah, pretty good show. Issa Rae cast as Spider-Woman in Spider-Verse 2.
Cool.
I don't know if you know her.
I don't.
She's on, you know that show? I'll look it up. But she's mostly known for this like one show.
Gotcha. Well, while you look that up, we have some casting, reportedly. It's a rumor.
Insecure. It's a show called Insecure.
I have not heard of that either.
It's pretty popular on HBO.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully she's good. Wait, Spider-Woman?
Yeah, Jessica Drew.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Nice. That's impressive. I wouldn't have remembered her name.
I'm pretty good at things. Also, I wrote it down.
Oh, okay. Nice. We have some reported casting for Namor the Submariner, which is Tanakh Huerta, which is this guy. I don't know what he's done or if he's a good actor or not, but sure. As long as he can look ripped in a tiny little green bathing suit, I'm cool with it.
So that report came out or whatever. It was like supposedly.
Yeah.
But then like 10 minutes went by. And Twitter like found like some dirt on him already.
Cool.
From like his old Twitter feed. So yeah. It might not even happen.
Sweet. Cancel him before he even has a chance.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
that's what I prefer.
Dude, I was Straw Hat Goofy on TikTok. He does a lot of comic book and movie content.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying Neymar.
Oh, no. That's very wrong.
And I was like,
wrong.
Absolutely not. And then in like the comments, I'm like, respectfully, name or.
It's either Namor or Namor.
Namor sounds dumb.
Namor
sounds like something you'd buy at Home Depot, and it's like a cream.
But I think that's like the proper like English way to say it. Like if you're trying to go along with all the English rules,
Namor.
If it was Namor, it would probably be like Naymor, you know, or More.
Namor.
Namor.
I don't know. It sounds
dumb. Which is why I'm cool with either of those options. But what was it?
Is it?
What did you say? Namor.
Neymar.
Neymar.
Like instead of an O, there's like an A there.
Well,
that's like
sounds,
how you're saying it.
He sounds pretty lame-ar, you know what I mean?
yeah, so it just bugged the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But then again, sucks. I'm like, I don't know if I'm right and he's wrong.
I think you are right, and I think that's safe to assume, so you should threaten his life on the internet.
But like, we sounded out, but anonymity. Do we have anything to where like we can confirm if we're right or not? Like, is he in any animated stuff or like...
Surely, yeah. He's,
have they... Did Kevin Feige like announce him or something?
No.
He said,
I didn't click on the article. I just screenshotted it.
I know.
And went on with my day because it's only reportedly, so I don't want to put too much effort into it.
All right. If anyone's listening from the future and I've been saying it wrong right now, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
let us know. Ridicule us.
the next Hickman book announced.
Really?
It's called Inferno. It's his next X-Men
book. Oh, yeah. Okay, I've seen that.
Come out in September.
Yep.
Don't know what it's about, but, you know, Hickman's cool.
I was thrown way off of X-Men when X of Swords happened because it was a 23-part event. So I That's said, fair. No, thank you. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. But I do really like his X-Men stuff, up to what I've read so far.
Yeah, I read one issue. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. So Sweet Tooth co-creator Jim Mickle is to direct a feature take of graphic novel God Country for Legendary and Aftershock Media. God Country, oh, cool. The
Donny Cates
book with Jeff Shaw, I want to say.
You have that, right?
I do, and have you read it in print, and it's incredible. Yeah, it's really, really good. Probably like one of my favorites from him, just because it's very simple and contained. It's like, I think it was normally like just a 5-issue series, but it was done really well.
Nice.
So that's and it's good to cool hear. That the Sweet Tooth co-creator is going to be behind it, so we know it's probably going to be pretty good because I like Sweet Tooth. So,
By stuff. Co-creator, you mean like the show?
The co-creator of the show, yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to verify.
Yeah, which seems like a weird way to say that because the Deadline article said Sweet Tooth co-creator Jim Mickle, but I don't think he had anything to do with the Vertigo comic.
Probably
Jim.
Not.
So get out of here.
Kevin Hart has been casted as Ace the Bat Hound.
For what?
That Super Pets like movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
That The Rock is going to be playing Crypto, the Superdog.
Oh, that's right.
And it's reported that Keanu Reeves is in it as well as John Krasinski, but we don't know who they are yet.
What other pets are there?
I don't know.
In the DC universe? I have Super no idea. Pets, dude.
Yeah, I know. Does Wonder Woman have something?
Does
she have a bird?
Maybe like a dragon.
A dragon?
Maybe. Hey, look, if one of the Justice League members is going to have a dragon, it would be Wonder Woman. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I feel like
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe Aquaman's got like a pet shark.
He's got a little dolphin. Maybe maybe a little turtle. That'd be kind of cute.
What about that little squirrel that's a Green Lantern?
Yeah, Chip.
Yeah.
There's Chip and then Bedigg.
There's two?
There's two of them.
Why are there two squirrel lanterns? Are they from Earth?
Why are there four human lanterns?
Fair.
They're not from Earth, no.
So there's aliens squirrels on other planets, is what you're saying.
No, they're aliens. They just happen to look like squirrels. It's like a Rocket Raccoon situation.
I don't know,
I'm pretty
man.
Sure Chip was first.
Okay.
Oh, there's like, remember the alternate DC universe where the Bugs Bunny looking dude is like Superman?
Oh, Captain Carrot. Captain Carrot?
Yeah.
That's not gonna be in Super Pets though. He's not a pet. He's like a hero.
Yeah, but it's an animal. I need to look up DC Pets.
Yeah, I'm googling that right
look
now.
Look up DC Pets for me, Daniel.
Hmm.
Actually, I want to know. So look that up. But the Eisners were announced, or the nominees for the Eisners were announced.
Indeed.
So that's pretty exciting. The All right. Eisners being the Oscars of comics. It's very exciting. Did you get Super Pets?
Yeah, so we got all the members of the Legion of Super Pets.
Okay.
So we got Beppo, the Super Monkey.
Okay, cool. That's John Krasinski, gotcha. Streaky,
the Super Cat. Detective Chimp, dude.
Yeah, Detective Chimp. Well, I mean, he's not really a pet, is he? He's just like his own thing. He's doing his own thing, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Bat Cow? What the fuck is that?
I remember Bat Cow.
Flexi, the Plastic Bird.
Okay.
Dude, does Plastic Man have a pet that's also...
A plastic bird? Bird? Yeah.
That's sick.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, obviously.
Clay Critter? That might be Wonder Woman's.
She's maybe.
Made of clay or whatever.
Yeah, true.
And then Titus, whatever that is.
This sounds like a shitty cast.
You know,
Pet Avengers would surely crush
it. Oh,
Comet
the Super Horse. Did I say that?
No. Is that the Flashes? Because no.
Super Horse. I don't know.
Interesting. Well.
He's got a cape.
Hopefully that'll be something good. I can definitely see The Rock as a Crypto, but for some reason I can't see Kevin Hart as an Ace the Bat Hound.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I thought this was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think doesn't I feel see right. Ace as being like pretty badass.
Yeah.
You know, same with like, and then Crypto is kind of a little bit more lighthearted, which is why like I think.
Yeah, I think The Rock can sound
pretty
lighthearted.
Dude, they should get like Stone Cold Steve Austin to play like Ace the Bat Hound. I think that'd work way better. He's like, hell yeah.
That'd be pretty sick. Anyway. 2021 Eisner Awards nominations. So there's tons and tons and tons of categories. So I'll read just probably the ones that we care about the most.
Like the series?
The series is best writers, artists, pencilers, all that stuff. So we have best single issue. There's one in here that I really, really want to win. which is Hedra by Jesse Lonergan.
Dude,
I'm so excited.
Jesse Lonergan's on the list? That's yes. Dope.
He's the clear winner. I haven't read all of these other ones, but there's also The Burning Hotels by Thomas Lampion, The Other History of the DC Universe by John Ridley and Giuseppe Camuncoli.
That old man.
I think Giuseppe did Vader, the Vader book that we read.
Oh.
There's Sports as Hell, Stanley's Ghost. I don't really know what those are. There's Best Continuing Series, which is Bitter Root, the David Walker and Sanford Green one.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cicchetto. The Department of Truth with James Tinian and Martin Simmons. Gideon Falls by our boy Jeff Lemire.
Yes, sir.
And Andrea Sorrentino. Another Chip series, which is Stillwater by Chip and Ramon Perez.
Nice,
and then
nice.
Usagi Yojimbo. Stan Sakai, still hustling.
Dude, that dude is like a million years old.
It's insane that he's still going. And he's going to be still going because I think there's like a Netflix thing coming, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Best Limited Series, Barbalian Red Planet by Jeff Lemire.
Yes, sir.
And Gabriel Hernandez, Walta. I probably want that one to win of all these, but there's also Far Sector, that Green Lantern story by N.K. Jemisin and Jamal Campbell.
Oh, is that good?
I think it's all right. Huh. I think I need to try reading it all at once because there's like a lot of different factors there, but I could tell it was building up to something that was pretty cool, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Strange Adventures, Tom King, Mitch Gerads, Evan Shaner. Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen, the Matt Fraction, Steve Lieber one, which I read that and I wasn't too crazy about it. And apparently it's still going, which I didn't know. So
Jimmy Olsen,
yeah.
But that stopped at 12.
I don't know. Maybe the 12th one was in the window for these Eisner nominations. So I'm not sure. But there's also Decorum by Jonathan Hickman. I haven't even seen that series.
And Mike Huddleston.
And Mike Huddleston, yeah. And then We Live by Inaki Miranda and Roy Miranda. Don't really know those. Best New Series, there's Black Widow, Crossover, Department of Truth, Killadelphia, which I thought was an Ed Brubaker thing, but it's not.
No.
Okay.
I think it's isn't that like a horror thing? Or no, maybe it's crime.
I think it's crime. Okay. It looks like it would be like an Ed Brubaker thing. At least I thought it was, but
probably same vibes.
And then there's also We Only Find Them When They're Dead. What's with the trend of like these?
They're like phrases.
They're like sentences. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something is killing the children.
Four kids walk into a bank.
The nice house on the lake is the one that I read like last week, a single issue. Yeah. Interesting. What else we got here? There's weird sections like best publication for teens, for kids.
Then they have like best penciler and best letterer and yeah, stuff like that.
Let's go to the best writers and all that, which is way further down than I would think. All right, best writer.
Is Russ Wooten on best letter?
Yes.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, I kind of want him to win. And there's a reason why, but
he's like the only letter I can remember.
So best writer, Ed Brubaker. We got Matt Fraction, Jonathan Hickman, Jeff Lemire, James Tinian, and Chip.
Wow, dude, we know all of them. That's cool.
We do know all of them, yeah.
Not personally, but we know who they are.
Well, we kind of know Chip, so let's hope for him.
Oh, we do know Chip.
Yeah, that'll be as number four Chip. If he wins, I believe.
Damn.
Yeah. So when are they announcing these?
It's like July, late July.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I looked it up. Because that's like when Comic-Con would have been.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, because they're doing it online, I think, still, right?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about like Comic-Con, like online or not.
Oh, I think they said that they were announcing this online. Maybe. Which I think was what they do normally.
They're doing a con in Philadelphia. It's like SteelCon.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that's like the first like con to come back.
I'm glad cons are opening up. I'm going to go nuts.
I miss con season.
I'm going to go nuts when the Phoenix one comes.
I know. I feel like I have so much more money than I did last time.
To spend on stupid shit?
Yeah. I'll buy like a statue or some shit.
It's crazy.
I don't care.
We have best penciler/inker or penciler/inker team. We got Michael Allred, who did, I guess, a Bowie book.
Yeah, David Bowie book.
There's Marco Cicchetto, who's on Daredevil, who is incredible. Jorge Corona, who's on Middle West.
Oh.
And he's really, really good. But apparently that was still going at this time. Bertrand Gatinol.
It's like from January 2020 to December 2020.
Is that what it is?
It's like the window, yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah, Middle West was probably still going.
Just last year, so.
Cool.
I think that's an easy way to, you know, split it up.
I assume that people probably time series is to like hit multiple years, because it felt like, remember when Vision was getting nominated like a bunch of times?
That was like
forever ago, but
that was 12 issues.
It felt like he was getting nominated like 3 years in a row for it, and I think it's because like it maybe started late in the year, happened like towards all of the next year, and then had like maybe ended
maybe like delayed or something, because yeah. I thought it was 12 issues.
It is 12 issues, but maybe it was delayed. I don't know.
Or there was like a hiatus in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like he got a lot of awards for that. But also best penciler inker, there's Mitch Gerards and Evan Shaner, which is great. And then Sanford Green. We have best coloring. We got Laura Allred, which is awesome.
Oh, cool.
Jean-François Ballou, who's on Middle West. But I feel like we've read something with him in it recently because I remember that name.
Yeah, it's a funny name.
Dave Stewart and Matt Wilson. So hopefully some Matt Wilson.
Let's go, Matt Wilson.
Yeah. And then lettering. So Mike Allred, who apparently letters his own stuff on Bowie.
Oh. Oh, dude, that's probably really good, actually. I've read stuff where he did, like, everything. And it, like, the lettering, like, just works with the art.
I assume.
And it's really dope.
Yeah, I assume he'd be really good at it. There's also Clayton Callas, who I feel like just does everything at DC. Stan Sakai, who is always nominated.
Uh-huh.
Because he, like, hand letters still. He, like, writes and draws the book, but he also hand letters, which is, like, insane. He's a madman.
What does he do?
Usagi Yojimbo.
Okay, I just want to check.
Nice. And then Russ Wooten, and I want him to win because he did Wonder Woman Dead Earth, which is like the Dana Warren Johnson one.
Yeah.
The Black Label book, and there's some crazy lettering on that.
Okay.
So that, and it complements his stuff really well. I thought it was Dana Warren Johnson doing it, but it was Clayton, so that's cool.
Sick.
And then everything else we don't really care about, I don't think, because it's like web comics and best publication. And then there's also one best comics-related book, so it's like a normal book, but about comics.
Oh, like this is like where it's like this is how you make comics kind of thing.
Well, there's one that seems kind of interesting, which is called Ditko Shrugged: The Uncompromising Life of the Artist Behind Spider-Man. So that seems like that interesting. Cool. Yeah, because apparently Ditko's like a weird guy.
Yeah,
and he like denies like a bunch of Marvel checks that have like a lot of money, and he like rips them up and shit. So
yeah,
I'd be interested to read about that.
Which is insane.
It is insane. So yeah. Excited to see the results. We can't really vote on it because there's like, I guess it's only people that are involved in the comics industry that can vote.
I feel like we should be able to vote though.
So I thought the same thing. So I may have registered us to potentially vote in the Eisner.
Dude. And then what if we get like invited to go?
There's no way that would happen.
That'd be sick though. So maybe.
There's a couple different categories in the form where it's like, are you a comic creator? Are you a publisher? Are you a retailer? And then there's other.
We're definitely other.
So I tried to like bullshit it and like kind of gas us up as much as possible. So
you could probably be sold as like,
I said, you know,
a media outlet.
I said that we were the creator of graphic novel analysis and critique channel, something like that. We don't really do that.
Sounds like you're writing a resume, dude. Yeah.
And then I said, my team reads a new graphic novel every week to discuss the nuances of the art and story aspects of all creators involved, while also providing historical background on the stories and creators.
Wow.
So who knows? Maybe I'll get an email from the Eisner saying, we fucking want trade waiters to vote. And then we'll vote for Chip.
Do they add in everything?
Yeah.
Damn, that means we have to agree on like who to vote for and everything.
Oh no, I registered us. I'm doing the votes.
What the fuck?
I'm kidding. No, we can tag team it. But can you imagine if we like they just like let us vote for some reason?
I don't think it's unreasonable for us to vote. You know what I mean?
I think it is. It feels like it's imagine like a movie podcast like voting on the Oscars.
You know, that's fair. Because, like, the Academy, I think, is, like, actors and people who make movies. So.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
So, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Yeah, so that's the news. Lots of news
this week. One more thing. Jamila Jamil casts as Titania in She-Hulk.
Cool.
Which is, like, the villain, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
She's a big woman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let me look her up.
That's basically what it is. So, maybe Hulk will turn into a big woman? Or at least a little bit
I'd
taller.
I'd say she's relatively big.
She-Hulk's like not huge. Like she's not like a unrealistically tall person.
She's probably just 6'5",
like,
right?
Yeah, she's like 6'5". Just taller than most men.
Yeah, and very strong.
So, and then buffer than most men, actually, as well. So.
Oh, damn. Look at her lifting. She's doing like a clean, an Olympic clean.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. And look how big those weights are.
Yeah. She's a big girl.
Big girl.
So, that'll be interesting.
Huh. So, I wonder how that'll look in live action.
I assume great.
Probably pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into the book that we read this week, Daniel, which is Loki, Agent of Asgard by Al Ewing. I think is how you say it. With artist Lee Garbett, who we know from Skyward, who's
big
awesome,
fan.
Big fan. Color artist is Nolan Woodard, and the letterer is Clayton Callas, who just got nominated for an Eisner. I don't know if you knew that.
You just said.
So,
cover artist Jenny Frison.
Frison, yep. And yeah, so this is the book that we read, kind of been excitement for the Loki series.
Loki, Agent of Asgard is what it's called. I don't know if you said that.
I did say that. Okay. Yeah. And this is a Marvel Now book, which is when they were releasing like a bunch of new books after something happened at Marvel, like in a comics event, I think, happened at Marvel, and then started like a, it wasn't like a reboot, but it felt as close to a reboot as Marvel's ever been. Because Marvel doesn't like reboot their books necessarily.
I think like Secret Wars is safe to say is a reboot.
I don't think so, because everybody like kind of technically remembers Secret Wars. Like, a reboot is like a flashpoint where something happens and everything changes and nobody remembers what was before, like in the 80s.
DC people remember, like, Crisis, don't they?
Not really.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay. So Marvel's really weird with it. They just reboot it, but technically they're like, yeah, I guess everything that happened in the 60s to Spider-Man is still relevant now in his 30s. Like,
yeah.
So it's a little strange, but...
The first issue in this is new Marvel Now, point one, number one.
Yes.
By Salvador LaRocca and Laura Martin.
Yes. But it's a Loki point one. So all these had like an issue zero type thing that was going on with them. And this is like Loki's one. So this is basically an issue zero. Not a whole lot really happens. Like, it kind of sets the tone for the book of like the sort of, I guess, whimsical Loki that we're kind of dealing with. But essentially Loki just hustles some people out of some keys that are called runes. And then he gets all five, which unlocks an ancient hero's blade called the Gram. The Gram.
I thought it was like the hero's blade.
It's called the hero's blade, but the actual like name of it is the Gram, like the Instagram.
The IG. Okay.
Yeah, the IG. So imagine if he got like his Instagram like handle embroidered on it or like. So that's basically all that happens in that first one. It's like what, 8 pages maybe?
I thought it was like 18.
The point one?
Yeah, I could be wrong though.
No, I think it was like 10-ish. All
right.
So anyway, that's all that happens. He has this sword. Bet? Yeah. You want to bet that it's 18?
I want to bet that it's more than 10.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. It's 8.
It's 8 pages?
Yeah, you lose.
Oh man.
I just counted it. So anyway, it just kind of, he has this sword now. We don't really know what the significance is, but I guess that was what people were like, I need to know what the sword is. I need to buy Loki, Agent of Asgard. So but this is like a very continuity heavy book, which kind of put me off of it a little bit, even though I know what was going on at the time that this book was coming out.
Yeah. Well, like there's a lot of editor notes, but there's like five, like, hey, read this other shit.
Yeah. And I feel like this is definitely a series where it's more fun if you're reading it while everything else is happening. Like it's fun to read issue by issue.
Yeah.
But this book in particular goes off on like, it feels like it goes off on tangents at some points, and then it like it is kind of chaotic almost.
Sure.
I did like it for like what it is, but it's not my favorite because it is like a continuity heavy book.
So what do we need to know going into this?
I guess, did you understand it?
Yeah, I was able to kind of chug along. I guess the only thing that I was like unsure of is like why Loki is like young here.
That's okay. I didn't understand that either.
I guess he died or something. He did. But then he came back somehow, but younger. But correct. Then I thought it was like, then they said something where he died, but like his old self took over this younger self. And then later you see an older Loki and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could explain that, but because it said like a lot of stuff was like, goes hand in hand with Thor, like God of Thunder.
Correct.
Like the Jason Aaron run.
Yeah.
So I figured and you might know what was
there
going
is
on.
A lot of that in here that connects with like the main like Thor book that Jason Aaron was doing. But I don't know why there's two Lokis, or at least why there's like a younger Loki.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of like was rolling with it with that information. So there ends up being two Lokis, which I think is like easy enough to just understand that there's an older Loki that's like evil for some reason, and then this newer Loki is just younger.
Does this book keep going?
Yeah, it goes for like 14 issues.
Oh, okay, I was like, this seems like a weird way to end.
Yeah.
But no, it's just like the first trade.
Okay. Yeah, it goes into like Original Sin, which is one of the, it's an event that I think Jason Aaron did, actually. Yeah. So, and it's really good. but not a whole lot of Loki in there. But anyway, we'll just get into issue one. So it starts off, Loki's taking a shower, and what better way to start a book with other than Loki taking a shower? We almost see some cheek as well.
Yeah, like that side cheek action.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, best part of the cheek.
No.
By any means, but it's there.
Especially since Loki doesn't have a whole lot of cake to work with.
Mm-mm.
He's also not super ripped, which I guess he wouldn't need to be because he's like the god of mischief or whatever. So,
dude, but in the show, when he took his shirt off.
Oh my god, dude.
He was fucking shredded.
I was like, look at this dude.
I was like, look at this daddy over here.
Yeah, he was like skinny shredded. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, like
normally
he's like cut.
Normally we see people that are like fucking massive.
Yeah, but like he's like thin because that's like his character, but he's also shredded under there.
Yeah, which is cool. It's cool to see.
He probably worked like 8 months to get that physique, and then just for that one shirtless shot, and we'll never see it again.
There's always one shirtless shot, I feel like, that, you know, probably isn't worth it for all the,
like,
all the
Chris crazy. Pratt or like,
yeah, or like Doctor Strange, remember when he had a shirtless scene?
Yeah,
but it was only like, it was kind of like
or fucking Ant-Man too.
Yeah, Ant-Man,
like, he had like a cut on his side of like, yeah. Oh, very convenient to show some abs here.
He's like, oh, I gotta tend to this wound on the side of me. let me make sure the lighting's right so I could tend to this stab wound on the side of me.
I can't wait to see Kumail Nanjiani's shirtless scene, dude, in Eternals.
He looks fucking great.
It's like, I'm so jealous. I'm like, you look fantastic.
He had such a huge like transition. Now his like chin is bigger.
Yeah, how did
we notice that?
He's like he lost weight or something.
He lost weight and his chin got bigger. I don't understand.
Just got more chiseled somehow.
He must be working on his jaw.
Yeah, dude. You can do that. There's like a little thing you bite down on it. It's like a more chewier mouth guard.
That's sick.
Gets like the real cheekbones going.
I would do that during a workout.
Yeah,
every day. So anyway, yeah. So Loki's in the shower. And he's approached by the All Mother, who interrupts him with a mission for him. And it essentially just cuts to Loki. He's running up the Avengers Tower with some magic boots that he has.
Who's the All Mother? I thought this was like Frigga at first.
It's Freyja, normally, I think.
Is that who his mom is?
Yes.
But not in the movies?
I need to look it up.
Because like All Father, Odin, sure. So I thought like All Mother.
There's Frigga and then there's Freyja. Frigga is the queen of Asgard and wife to Odin. So yeah, Frigga's the actual mom. And then Freyja, goddess associated with... I have to specify Marvel.
Did Norse mythology come up?
Yeah.
That's good. Where does Norse mythology come from? Norwegian? Norway or...
Norwegia, yeah.
Norwegia?
I think Norway, I don't know. She's the goddess of... Freyja's the goddess of marriage and she's All Mother... her father, Freyr, fought against Odin, Borson. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Damn. Like, so, this might go pretty deep.
Yeah. Well, like, because reading the... one of the things I like about Jason Aaron's run on Thor is that he makes all this, like, pretty understandable.
His shit, like...
it's great.
It looks like mythology. Like, it's like you're reading, like, a book.
Yeah, which is what I think this book tries to do at some points, but it doesn't work nearly as well as, like, Jason Aaron stuff. And I wrote down an example of one of them that I'll talk about later. But yeah, seems like this kind of falls a little bit short of that.
So they go to Asgardia?
Asgardia.
Do you know what that is?
So Asgard, not a thing. It crumbles and gets destroyed.
Because of Ragnarok? Or
I think they call it like a Ragnarok event. Ragnarok is just like the thing that is eventually going to destroy
Asgard. It means the end of Asgard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that may have happened because of the God Butcher. I can't remember. But it's not a... So Asgard isn't a thing, and Asgardia is just a place on Earth, or Midgard as they call it, where all of the Asgardians are chilling now. So it's just Asgard on Earth, and they just named it Asgardia to make it sound a little bit nicer?
Because it's like in the sky.
It's like, it is in the sky, yeah, but it's like...
in the Earth sky.
In Earth's orbit sky. Well, not even in space. It's like in the sky, like you could...
So you can just like see
it? You fly a plane there. Yeah, you could just see it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because like they jump off a plane to get there.
Yeah, yeah, eventually.
Like, wait a minute.
You're like, so are they in space? Like,
I was like, what kind of airline is this? Holy shit.
The rates must have been insane. No wonder. Yeah. So anyway, Loki was tasked with a mission from the All-Mother. And I think in here there's like three different people that all make the All-Mother. It doesn't really matter, but I just don't understand it.
Okay, yeah, we'll just move on.
Anyway, so the All-Mother tasks Loki with a mission, which then cuts to Loki running up Avengers Tower with some magic boots that he has. So he's like literally running up the tower. And Thor has been like uncharacteristically aggro lately. And so when he sees Loki as he's like running up the tower, he knocks him off the building, which has him falling to his death. And then he's saved by Hawkeye and like brought into the building.
Because he's got a grappling hook arrow.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you have to.
Right, just in case.
Yeah. He probably has like a plunger arrow, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He definitely got a boxing glove arrow.
Plunge things from far away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to have a boxing glove arrow, too, if you're an arrow guy.
So Thor was drinking mead before he showed up?
Correct.
Have you ever had mead?
Yeah, it's not very good.
No, it sucks.
It's kind of like just piss.
It's like beer without any carbonation, and I don't like it.
It's like beer, but it sucks.
It's like, here's what beer actually tastes like. And I'm like, wow, I guess I don't like beer.
Yeah, no, I like it spruced up, you know, with some bubbles.
Like it'd be spicy.
Yeah.
anyway, I just wanted to ask that.
So, yeah, Hawkeye gets saved, and now Loki's just surrounded by Avengers. And then Loki brings up the time that the Avengers cloned Thor in Civil War and made him like a weird android Thor.
Yeah, and they called him Ragnarok.
Yeah, and his name was Ragnarok, which is a pretty dope name, to be honest.
Great name. But that I was so confused when like...
When that happened in Civil War?
When this movie was coming out, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, and then when I was reading Civil War, which is like a very early book for me,
yeah.
I was like, what do you mean?
There's a lot of weird continuity stuff in there. But yeah, so that makes Thor all pissed off, and the Avengers starts like bicker, and then they start fighting, and then Loki escapes.
Sorry. So Loki is like, because like Thor's like, why are you here? And then Loki's like, well, when they like did the cloning or whatever, did Tony Stark actually delete all your DNA or whatever? And he's like, I don't know. And then Stark's like, hold up now. And then they like fight.
Yeah. And Stark's like, you're going to believe your brother? He's just trying to piss us off. And then Hawkeye like eventually shoots an arrow trying to shoot it at Loki, but he did like a misdirect and it was actually Bruce Banner. Mm-hmm. So he just hits Bruce Banner in the shoulder and then the Hulk comes out. So they all just start fighting. And that's like a very awesome like Loki situation.
Oh yeah.
Loki loves to pull that like switcheroo shit.
Yeah, like, this is like one of the best examples of that.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And just off the bat, I really do like this kind of modern approach to Loki's costume. He's got like a sweet fur coat and he's got the fingerless gloves.
He just has like something you would see like in a cold place.
Yeah, but with this crown,
got some boots.
I think I have like the opposite opinion as I do for Batman ears, which is like the longer the better.
Yeah,
For Loki. So what I mean,
I definitely like when they look like the Hellboy like horns, where he's like an Unrama or whatever.
Yeah, I want long Loki horns and short Batman ears. I just want to be clear. But yeah, he's got like medium sort of ears here, I guess.
I don't know. I think I want shorter than Dark Knight, but longer than BVS. You know what I mean?
Like, I would, in between there. That's a solid middle, yeah.
Because Keaton, that's too long.
Yeah.
It works, but like if it was up to me, you know?
Exactly. You're looking for like Goldilocks ears, like longer than Batfleck, but shorter
Goldilocks?
Yeah. You know, what do you mean? Like it's just right, you know?
Exactly.
So you want somewhere in the middle.
Let me look at maybe the Robert Pattinson one will be good enough.
I feel like if they had a Loki crown that had just like super short horns, it would just look like Daredevil as well. Because like the horns placed, they like come out of his forehead, like a Hellboy. So
I think Robert Pattinson's are like perfect. Actually, it looks kind of weird.
It does look kind of weird.
Looks like what I'm asking for.
But yeah,
is a better picture.
It also looks like they're not committing.
I like this more. This is a better picture.
Actually, I don't know. I think if you're going to do that, you might as well just go Christian Bale.
I think that's how they separate them. They like actually have like this documented somewhere. Be like, our Christian Bales are 4.6 inches.
Yeah, you got to like... Surely when they cast a new Batman, they're like, okay, we can't use a 1-inch horn. We can't use a 4-inch horn like Christian Bale.
Yeah.
That's probably like a legit like meeting that Warner Brothers had.
You ever seen like Greg Capullo's like Batman ears?
Yeah.
They're like a centimeter.
Yeah.
They're so small.
And it looks great.
He looks more like a Space Ghost.
I could see that.
Just like they're basically not there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But I do like an exaggerated, like really long one. Like some of the Grant Morrison stuff or like...
Oh, just nuts.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
Yeah, it always works well in imagery, but I guess if I got to... Yeah, it would look so dumb.
It would never in motion, but look, aesthetically, it's kind of cool on the page, which is why I like comics.
Yeah, we love comics.
So anyway, while everyone's distracted, Loki sneaks off and he deletes all records of himself off of an Avengers database, which controls... I guess all records of him across like governments and stuff. And the Avengers eventually catch up to him doing this. And Thor tries to attack him, but Loki pulls some trickery, and then he stabs Thor with the new blade that he found, the Gram, and that essentially purges Thor of like a strange energy. So Thor was acting like really weird and aggro because of an energy that was in him, and after he stabs him with the Gram, it takes it out, and then it puts it into like a jar for Loki to take.
Didn't they call it like the touch of Malekith or something like that?
That's what was in him. He got like he was angry and shit because of some stuff that happened in Jason Aaron's Thor, which was just basically a war with Malekith.
That's like the dark elf, right?
Yes.
Nice.
That's cool.
He's like cool in the comics?
The two-faced elf?
Yeah, they got burnt or whatever.
He is. He's much cooler in the comics than he is in the movie.
Does he look cooler?
Yeah.
He looks like the same. He
looks better. I think in the movie, like he just looked like a man with a bunch of makeup caked on his face. So I didn't really like it that much. But in the comic, he looks just like a normal two-faced dark elf. I don't know.
Okay.
So yeah, I think he looks a little bit better. So that was something in him since his fight with Malekith in the Thor book. And then the blade, its purpose is that it purges people of the truth. So it's like a Wonder Woman type deal with like the lasso of truth. That's what the sword does.
Is he blue, Malekith?
Malekith is like blue and purple.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think in the movie they did like white and purple or something.
Yeah, he's like white. And then like the half of his face is because he's like burnt or something.
No, it's Two-Face, Daniel.
No,
that's the man in Gotham City.
I thought he got burnt or something.
I think so. I couldn't tell you. I'm not a huge Malekith fan.
I felt so dumb. Don't do that for me. I got scared.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Dude, I think Lee Garbett draws like a sweet Avengers like lineup. Like, yeah. I would absolutely read like a Lee Garbett Avengers book.
Yeah, he draws a really good Thor. His Hulk is like just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think that he does really good facial expressions, so I think it would work well in like an Avengers book for when they're just like talking to each other, probably yelling at each other, you know?
He draws a great Cap too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at this time, Iron Man's like a weird black and gold Iron Man, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Maybe that was just like the suit he was sparring with at that time.
Could be. Yeah. And so in that scene, Loki deletes all of his records, right, of him on being Earth. Like a bad guy on Earth. But working in IT, I know that would be so much harder to do, like, for real, because mm-hmm. it's very likely that he would need the proper credentials to do that. But even if he did, there's likely cloud backups.
Yeah, how's he going to get the admin, access?
How's he going to have global administrator access?
Because you have to have a password for that.
And then, yes, maybe even two-factor authentication. How are you going to...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then it's definitely going to come up that there's this, like, foreign... user.
Yeah. Even if he does have all the credentials, there's probably cloud backups that are just replicated all across the world.
Yeah.
Across different data centers.
Or it could be copied to like another server or something.
Yeah. Across different data centers.
Yeah. Because it's...
It would be a whole thing to try and do this for real. But
apparently he did it.
Apparently he just logs on. We don't even see him log on. It's just like all the screens are on and he's just like, oh, Loki.
And it's like purge. I'm like,
he probably just highlights it and deletes, like hits the delete key. And he's like, all right, I'm good. It would never work like that.
So I guess like Loki is like a good guy in this, you know, like I guess in his younger self, he's like trying to do some good.
Yeah.
So he's trying to undo like, you know, all the shit that he's done, you know, or try and make amends.
Yeah. Which is kind of what the All-Mother is trying to get him to do as well. Because on Asgard, there's records of Loki being bad, but it's not technically the same Loki because this one just came about. I'm not sure how, but the All-Mother gives him a proposition of if you do missions for us, every one mission you complete is one crime that gets deleted off of Asgard's database.
Yeah.
So, which doesn't seem like it would be that one-to-one, because like if you jaywalk like, or if you murder somebody, those are two different things, you know,
or if you start a war or something.
Yeah, or if you steal $20.
I'm sure the details don't matter, and I'm glad they didn't get into it.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't either, but just, you know, realistically.
But right before he got stabbed, Thor is like, oh, let's kill him, and then like Captain's like, the Avengers don't kill. And I was just thinking about like every movie, and I'm like, oh my god,
it's all that. They like, come on, people. Dude, just kill them. So yeah, after that, Loki brings that bad Thor juju, whatever you want to call it, to the All-Mother.
It just looks like a symbiote.
It kind of does, yeah. It's just in a jar, a sweet looking jar. And then the All-Mother's like, all right, that's one crime removed. And then Loki leaves, and then the All-Mother opens the jar, and then it's an evil looking Loki that comes out wanting to talk about the future.
Older specifically.
Older, yeah. Older Loki and a Longhorn Loki I might say, as well.
Yeah.
So longer the horns, the more evil you are.
I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Same with Hellboy lore as well.
Yes, true. So the more horny you are, the more evil. So yeah, issue two. This is like, it starts off with like a speed dating scene where someone is rejecting all the guys for, because she can like magically see through all of their lies.
She like can't be lied to.
Yeah. Well, she knows if there's like a lie happening.
Right.
Essentially.
I hated this issue. This is the worst one.
This one really confused me. And so did like,
I think I get it, but I just didn't like it.
I do get it, but it took me forever to figure out. So
this
anyway.
Is like, so like, modern like comic books, like, you know, last like 10 years, they just like, seems like they're running out of ideas, so they put like superheroes in like modern situations.
Yeah, like speed dating, which like I'm not against this idea, but the way that he like executed it, I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, like by the end. Do you remember did you ever read Cyborg Rebirth?
I may have a little bit. Yeah,
it starts off with him going to like a jazz club.
Nice.
And so he and like he I guess jazz is, you know, like very improv, and so it's not necessarily like how music theory is like lined out. So he like felt something or whatever.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay.
I kind of get that.
I get it, but it's just like, it's just dumb.
It is kind of dumb.
This guy can teleport to like apocalypse whenever he wants.
Yeah. He could create a cannon out of his hand and do a big boom.
Yeah, he could kill everyone like
easily
in an instant, just with a thought.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not what he's trying to think about when he's in a jazz club, but
yeah,
even still.
He wants good vibes
only. It does seem kind of ridiculous. So anyway, this is a speed dating scene. There's a girl there that can see through everybody's lies. Loki comes in as one of the speed daters because he wanted to talk to this woman who, it seems like her name is Lorelei, but it's not.
Lorelei?
Lorelei? Lorelei?
Lorelei. Probably. There's, okay, I'm sorry, but I
L-E-I, know... L-E-I, Daniel.
Huh?
It's L-O-R-E-L-E-I.
Lorelei.
Okay, sure. Lorelei.
Okay.
Doesn't
so
matter.
I'm but. Sorry I know this because in Gilmore Girls, the main character's name is Lorelei, and we watch with subs on.
Gotcha.
And it says Lorelei, so okay. This or whatever.
God, I'm glad that you watch Glory Girls.
I don't... it's Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
And I don't watch it. Sarah watched it, and I just was in the room.
Watching it with her.
No, I was reading. I was reading this.
How come you're reading the subtitles then?
Just because it's very distracting to try and read with TV on.
Yeah, true. So anyway, Lorelei? Lorelei.
Lorelei.
Lorelei. Gotcha.
Have you heard that name before?
No.
Really?
It sounds like Coraline, but like,
it's maybe not just because I heard Lorelei. It like a million times.
Probably.
When she binged that shit.
Yeah, don't act like it's a common name. Come on.
It's not.
So anyway, it turns out...
What did you think it was?
Lorelei?
No,
Lorelei.
Lorelei?
Like a lay. You know, a lay is spelled...
Lay has H on it. Doesn't it?
I think like a Hawaiian lay is L-E-I, isn't it?
What lay are you thinking of?
Like the little flower necklace thing.
That's right? The Hawaiian one.
Yeah, a lay.
Is there an H?
L-E-I.
It's a Lorelei.
So I know...
It's a very normal name.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm telling you my reasoning. Doesn't matter, though.
Okay.
So anyway, Lorelei.
Exactly.
So it turns out the All-Mother tasked Loki with finding Asgardians on Earth, which they're already on Earth, but I guess they want them to come back to Asgardia, like come home, you know?
Not in Asgardia, yeah.
Yeah, which includes Lorelei, who apparently Loki and Thor used to have a thing with, like both of them?
At different times, they both had a thing, yeah.
So they're what is it called, Eskimo Bros?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, that's weird.
Tunnel Buddies?
Yeah.
One of the two.
One of my favorite like recurring tropes in comics is when there's like a D-list character that you have to know about. So there's like a one page spread of just like everything you need to know about the character.
Yeah, it's just basically like, oh, she fought this person, she banged this person.
Yeah, a splash page of just like the important moments in this character's life. And it's like, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. So I guess there's a part where she's kissing Thor and then Loki's like, but I also kissed her sometimes in the comics.
Which really has no like... plot value.
Yeah, it really doesn't. So anyway, there's then there's like a flashback to Loki essentially crashing a bank heist with Lorelei.
Mm-hmm.
Lorelei, that one that she was doing, which means that she has to resort to hustling guys at speed dates for money. That's essentially all that was. It was a big complicated scene in here.
So yeah, so
but that's all so, that he did. He just crashed.
So Loki
bank
was cloaking himself as like a 40-year-old dude.
Correct.
But she was talking to this other girl who can see people's lies or whatever.
Which I thought that was Lorelei.
No. So that's someone else.
It's called...
what's her name?
The girl that can see through lies is called Verity Wells.
Yeah, Willis. Verity. And so
Verity Willis.
But because she can't see, she can see people's lies, she can see Loki. She saw Loki. And so Lorelai was just a couple tables down taking people's money. And I don't know what her power is, but she was just taking dudes' wallets.
She just hustles people out. She doesn't really have much of like power. She's just kind of an Asgardian, so she's kind of strong. She's kind of built different.
Like she's like a fucking she's got like a sleight of hand or whatever. What do you call it when you
sleight of hand?
What's it called like when you go to like a city and then people just take your wallet because you walk by them?
Like a pickpocketer?
Pickpocketer. Yeah, he's just like pickpocketing, but she's like holding the wallet in front of their face.
I think she's like putting spells on them or something to like give them their wallets.
You just said that she doesn't have anything. Oh, she's from Asgard, yeah, so she's probably got something.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. But yeah, so that's why Loki's there for Lorelai, but then notice that this girl recognizes Loki as Loki, not as a 40-year-old man, which is what Lorelai thought.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he disguises himself as an older man, but he was curious why this girl could see him as Loki, and her name is Verity Willis, and there's like an explanation of her powers, and she can see through all lies, even any like fiction. So like if she watches a movie or like reads a book, it like bothers her.
Yeah.
So she like resorts to math and physics books for like entertainment.
I didn't need this.
I didn't.
It was so dumb. I'm like, okay, she's smart or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they are interesting powers, if you can like even call them that. But I mean, all you really need to know is that she can't be lied to, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So anyway, they seem to like hit it off, and then Loki sees Lorelai leaving and has to like tend to his mission to bring her back to Asgardia, so he leaves with her. But now she knows it's him, apparently, because he's not a 40-year-old man anymore. Or is he leaving as a 40-year-old man? I can't really tell. But
she says Loki of the Silver Tongue doesn't like speed dating. So yeah.
So I guess he revealed himself, and he even admits that he's gonna fail this mission to bring her back to Asgard this time because he needs her for some help. Yep. And that's how that issue ends.
Yep.
So yeah, this issue was like all over the fucking place, which really like put me off the book because I really thought that Lorelai was the person he was talking to because I figured lie and like she could see through lies, so I was like she must be Lorelai.
Uh-huh.
And then it ended up being like a switcheroo in my head. So I'm like, so who's fucking Lorelai and who am I supposed to be caring about? And they're both redheaded women, so it's like it's not like that helps at all either.
No. Okay, so Lorelai's a brunette and then Willis is like a redhead.
But in the bank heist scene, she looked like a redhead because that was Lorelai. So that's why it really fucked me up.
You're right. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, so it was very strange.
Who colored this?
We said it in the beginning.
You did a great job.
You did a great job.
Except for this part.
Just that part I probably would have done a little bit differently, but yeah, I'm not a colorist, so maybe fuck me at the same time.
Yeah, that shit's hard.
So anyway, issue 3. So this one's kind of like a fable book, but
this is the best issue.
Really?
This is fucking cool.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that you thought that.
So at first I was like, what the fuck is this? Because, spoilers, Loki kills a giant fish with a bazooka?
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it finished. I'm like, all right, this is cool shit.
Okay, I knew you'd probably hate that part. So
I didn't hate it. It was just fucking ridiculous.
So yeah.
But then the rest of the issue like kind of saved
it. So for context, Thor books tend to do this where they will do like a fable. And it feels like an old-timey story or like an epic. That explains the backstory of something.
Yeah, so it worked really well.
It happens in Thor, and I fucking loved it, where it was basically just explaining how Mjolnir, like, was created.
Nice.
And it harnessed, like, the power of, like, an unstoppable storm in space that Odin had to, like, capture and put it into, like, a special, like, Uru metal that were forged by people, and it was really, really cool.
That's dope.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever read, like, at the time I was reading it. And so that's kind of what this is.
I was thinking like, oh, what John Laneman said is like the third issue, they just kind of fuck around.
Yeah.
But no, this is like,
this is pretty important.
It was important to the story, but I could like see how you could have skipped this and still kind of got it.
Yeah, true.
But I like this issue like a lot.
Okay, cool. So yeah.
But I have a lot of questions.
Sure. So yeah, it's basically a fable for Graham, which is the sword that tells the truth or whatever. But old evil Loki, and this is way back when, finds a young Prince Odin. So when he had sweet hair.
Did he time travel or something?
No, this is just like at the beginning of like time.
So in this, was Loki not like adopted? Like he wasn't like a son of?
No.
Because they call him like the lost son. Oh, maybe he did time
travel. I don't know what this is actually.
Because like think about this bridge thing.
I assume, yeah.
Because at the end they talk about it.
Correct. Yeah.
And so he's like, I made the gram or whatever. So he goes back in time.
It's safe to assume he time travels, yeah.
And so, he finds a young
Odin. He has sweet hair. He's got no beard, and he's got no eye patch, so he's got both of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how young he is. And he starts talking to him, and they're like walking along, and Loki sees an otter that's strangely huge, but Loki just kills him immediately. And they're like, that was weird. And then they go to a bar that's like a family bar, and
with the otter skin, with, like, fur on him.
Correct. And then
they ate him.
The family of this bar are like, hey, I wonder when my brother that shapeshifts into otters is coming back. And they're like, oh shit, I have otter on my back. And then the family notices and they're like, what the fuck, man? And so to make it up, they have to get a fuckload of gold to like make it okay, which, I, you know, that's not the best coping mechanism, is just get.
And they hold like Odin like ransom.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then Loki has to go get it.
Yeah. So it's a weird situation altogether. But luckily,
why do they go to their dad's house?
I don't know. But luckily, Loki knows where to find gold, which is to steal it from a shape-shifting fish man that protects gold, but he can't be affected by hooks or magic. So Loki blows him up with a bazooka.
Okay, yeah. So does he have like a big old bag of whatever he wants? Or a little bag?
He's got a little bag that holds big things because it's magic. And he pulls and out a bazooka.
Blows his shit away.
Which is reasonable. Yeah. Because like, I can't use magic, I can't use hooks for this fish man, so I'll blow him up.
If I was in the situation and I had these resources, I'd probably do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's very...
I just didn't know he could do that.
It's very Looney Tunes.
Oh, absolutely.
So
it's made by like Acme.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets the gold, and the gold has like this evil magic trait to it that corrupts people. And it ends up corrupting one of the family members of the bar named Fafnir.
Like the brother of like...
The brother of the otter man.
Yeah.
So Fafnir kills his dad and his only other brother to keep the gold. And he runs away. And then the brother named Regin the Vengeful, he actually survives. And then Regin then forges the sword Gram. And Fafnir gets turned into a dragon.
Yeah, dude. He just like chills with his gold and doesn't spend it or something. And then he turns into this big ass dragon.
So I guess the magic is like makes you very greedy, which is why he doesn't want to spend it. And then it also just turns you... Yeah, into a dragon.
And that's why he's green,
naturally,
Nathan.
Yeah.
That's the color of greed.
Yeah.
He's green.
And although this like whole issue is like a weird tangent, you could skip it, Lee Garbett does draw a fucking rad dragon.
Sick dragon, yeah.
And it's like a human, like there's more attention to detail in like the arms of a dragon, you know? Because I feel like whenever we see like a Fin Fang Foom, his arms are just like a T-Rex kind of deal where it's like his arms aren't that big, but this dragon has like huge arms.
Yeah, he's got some cannons.
So it's
and then he looks really very scaly too, and he does a really good job of that.
Yeah, and I like his teeth. It's got some big teeth. Good teeth.
His like nose is like in between his eyes, and it's like very very wide. It doesn't look like Fin Fang Foom. He looks like something that would be in like How to Train Your Dragon or something.
He looks like if Fin Fang Foom was juicing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So anyway, so Regin hires Asgard's first hero named Sigurd. Sigurd?
I said Sigurd.
Sigurd, probably. So he hires Sigurd to kill Fafnir with the Gram. Which is the dragon, yeah. Yep. So Sigurd does end up killing him, and he takes the dragon's heart to eat. And then Sigurd also kills Regin as he's about to stab Sigurd, but he does it with the Gram. This part is just like kind of weird to explain, but the guy that hired Sigurd is about to kill him to get the dragon's heart, which I guess makes you unmortal is what they called it. But
yeah.
Sigurd kind of called it and stabs Regin back.
No, there's this little bird.
With the Gram. There's a little bird that tells him to do it, which Sigurd. Ends up being Loki.
Yeah, that was sick.
That shit's all weird. Yeah, it's
if
like
it was green. I totally should have picked it up on that.
I didn't either.
But when he turned into Loki, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. So
what a twist.
So Loki kind of like influenced him to stab Sigurd in the back. But anyway, Sigurd kills him. I don't know if he eats the heart, but he just
I think
leaves.
He does.
And then years later, Odin's dad dies. Boar is his name, which is why Odin is Odin Borson and Thor is Thor Odinson, which seems like it would be annoying, but anyway.
No, that's dope. And then I guess like Sigurd like left the Gram there.
Yeah, he leaves the Gram there, so Odin has it, and then this is like years later after all that happens, but Loki steps in and he's like, oh, what's up, Odin? I need you to make a box for me that can only be opened with 5 keys, which is the thing that we saw in the Zero issue or like the 0.1 issue.
Yeah.
And so he does that and then he puts the sword in there. And then that's the story of the sword, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to the present and Sigurd is still alive and he's back and he scales the mountain where like the box is and then he finds out that the box is empty.
And that Loki got it.
And that Loki has it. So...
Yeah, I thought this was great.
Yeah.
I really like this one.
It is kind of fun. I'm glad. I wasn't sure how you were going to take it, because it is just like a huge tangent. And it's like, why do I need to know all this? And like, who's Fafnir? Why is he turning into a dragon? But
yeah, like
you have to be in the like mythical kind of mindset.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking about it that way. I was like, it was like paced well, and like I understood who everyone was.
Yeah.
And so, and then it was just like, just a really cool origin to get to this where we are already.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I like that a lot.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad. So, yeah, it's a nice little Fable issue, and now we know that Sigurd is still a guy and who's on Asgard.
And we get a bunch of like variants, like in between issues. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. We got a Frank Cho one. Nice.
Is there?
Yeah. For... in between 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a Mike Del Mundo one, which is cool. It's an animal variant, which is kind of nice.
Ah, where Loki's a fox.
Yeah. Very fitting. And then Thor is a bird.
Kind of like Swiper.
Kind of, yeah. Because Swiper, he's sly. Fox? He's sly like a fox.
Ah.
Yeah. And then Thor is like a bird because he can actually fly, which is why tangent. He did that.
Did you see that Funko is coming out with a Sly Cooper pop?
No, that's
you,
awesome.
Do you remember Sly Cooper?
Yeah, the best game ever made on PS2.
And the Thievius Raccoonus.
Was that the subtitle for that game? Yeah,
because that was the book that his family had and like taught him how to do all the thieving things.
Dude, I would fucking speedrun that game if I had it right now.
Absolutely.
I would still know everything because I was a dumb child playing it and I had to grind to like beat that game.
I feel like we beat that game like a dozen times.
I would definitely play it again.
Is like PS4 like the same thing as like Xbox? We have like all the old shit on there in like a store.
I don't think it has any backwards compatibility.
Not like backwards compatible where you put like a PS2 game in but there.
Do they remaster it?
Or just like put it on like a marketplace for you to buy?
I don't think so, but maybe.
If you have a PS4 or 5, email in, let me know. If I can play Sly Cooper if I get a PS4 or PS5. Because that'd be
fun. Buy a whole PS4 just to play Sly Cooper? I guess you could play the Spider-Man games too.
Yeah, because I haven't done that.
Which are incredible, by the way.
I know that they are. I just like haven't.
It's like you're playing the game and like, this is everything I ever wanted it to be. That's essentially what that game was.
Yeah, I know it is. I haven't like seen that much of it, but I know I'd love the shit out of it.
It's pretty awesome.
I'd get all the birds or whatever.
Don't
you like hunt down birds or something?
There's like backpacks all around.
Oh, I'd find all the backpacks.
Birds, I think, is Assassin's Creed.
Oh, you're right.
So yeah, issue 4, Sigurd is on a mission to take the sword back. So he finds Loki's apartment and he tries to use an invisibility cloak to take it back. But Verity Willis, who's the one that can see through all the lies, is at Loki's apartment and can just see through that invisibility cloak.
Yeah, he's like, who's the invisible guy?
Yeah, she's like, who's that? Why does he have your sword?
And then so, Sigurd starts spitting game, dude.
Yeah, he's trying to like flirt with her and he like start talk like all Norsey. Or however you call it.
Yeah, he's like...
And he's like, it normally works for Thor, I don't know.
For thy bewitching gaze doth compel noble Sigurd to get thy digits.
And like, I was like, what did he say?
I'm like, damn, I would give my... I'm like, phone number. If he wants phone number. I don't know what the rest of that was.
If you could pick up a girl that way, that'd be insane.
If I can just...
Can I get thy digits?
If I just get through, like... how much of a tongue twister that is without it being alliteration.
You might as well.
I can make it work.
You might as well freestyle rap because of how crazy it is. But anyway, so that's the situation. Loki flashes back to when the All-Mother contacted him again. And she's saying, you need to catch Sigurd and bring him back to Asgard because we need all the Asgardians.
So they show up on his TV when he's playing video games. And yeah. He's playing Galaga.
Is that what he's... Oh, he is!
Yeah, because he's got a little spaceship and he's shooting, like, the All-Mother.
Yeah, that's funny.
And they're all pixelated and, like, are deteriorating as, like, the bullets hit him.
I didn't notice that, but that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
because the something. All-Mother just kind of comes up in whatever form. Like, before she was, like, a bunch of punch that was just, like, floating in the air.
Yeah, and then just, like, dropped in on his carpet.
Yeah, which sucks.
Yeah, man.
But yeah,
terrible stain.
That's kind of the relationship there. But yeah, so... the All-Mother wants Sigurd back to Asgardia. And so Loki's like... Oh, but they also say that if he doesn't get Sigurd back, it's going to be the end of, like, Loki's freedom. So, like, he really needs to get Sigurd back. That's his, like, motivation.
Right.
So the two of them fight. Loki's pushed out of a window again.
I guess Loki's got, like, another sword that he can fight with.
Yeah, they make, like, a...
Wait, does he have the Gram?
So... Sigurd has the Gram because he was in the process of taking it from Loki when he got caught by Verity.
Oh.
So that's okay. Why he has it. And Loki has a backup sword. And then...
You're right.
Yeah, so then they start fighting. Loki gets pushed out of a window. Again, he doesn't have very good luck with windows in this trade. But
the fight, magic boots.
The fight eventually goes into a dumpster with Sigurd using the Gram to stab through the dumpster. And we see some blood on it, and then he leaves.
I'm like, I guess Loki's dead. That's crazy.
Yeah, he just dies in a dumpster. I wouldn't think that that would be the way that he does it, but... But yeah, so essentially at this point, the mystery that's kind of driving the story is like, why did the All-Mother want all these Asgardians?
Yeah.
So, and then they're just like, Loki is an agent of Asgard because he's working for the All-Mother.
Honestly, didn't think it was a mystery. I was just like, oh, this is what he has to do today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you don't really think about it that much.
So Sigurd goes to some wizard?
He goes to a monk dude named Kalu, who I guess controls reincarnation.
Yeah, and so he wants to be reincarnated into something that's not a god, because even if he dies, like, wherever he goes, I guess, there'll be,
Valhalla.
Like, Valhalla, yeah, there'll be Valkyries there that'll make his life hell and shit like that.
Yeah, so Sigurd wants to be reincarnated, not to Valhalla, but just, like, to Earth again. So they sign an agreement with blood to change it, so that he doesn't have to be reincarnated in Valhalla when he dies. But, oh no, Kalu is actually Mephisto. And the contract is going to send him to hell instead. But then another twist, the contract was actually Loki's contract that he switched out while Sigurd was explaining stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a double twisty what this one is.
Double McTwist.
So that contract ends in Mephisto leaving, going back to hell, I guess. And then Sigurd is being delivered to Asgard in chains to the All-Mother. And then later we see that Loki kind of feels bad about this, and he is getting a team together to break him out in Asgard. And that team consists of Verity Willis, Lorelei, and Thor to help break him out.
Mm-hmm. It was very shocking. I'm like, wow, he got Thor on board.
Yeah. And I love this version of Thor because he just looks like a bro.
Yeah, dude, he looks like he goes surfing every day.
Yeah, he's got the long hair.
He skated there.
He's wearing like a band t-shirt, apparently, called Aha. Actually what it is. I looked it up.
You looked up a fictional band?
No, it's a real band, I think.
Aha? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you listen to Bleachers by any chance?
Like the seats?
No, it's like a band.
No.
They do have shirts that are like just like the seats. I think they're really cool.
What kind of band are they?
So you know the band Fun?
Yeah.
So their guitarist went on to make this band called Bleachers, and he like sings and plays guitar and stuff. It's really fucking good. You might like it.
You didn't want to name it Staircase?
Nope. Hmm. That was taken.
Oh, gotcha.
Actually, I don't know. I don't actually know, but...
Yeah, you don't super listen good. To Staircase?
Yeah, anyway, they're coming, Nathan. They're on tour.
What about Escalators?
Escalators. You know, I don't know. That's a good name for band, too.
Yeah, call it Dibs.
We can go on tour with Bleachers.
I like... There's a joke in the show Parks and Rec where Chris Pratt's character will, like... be like, band name, call it. And like, yeah. There's one where they're like at the lake and Ron's like, oh, look at that driftwood or whatever, and Chris Pratt's like, driftwood, band name, call it. I think it's really funny. Anyway, so issue 5, last issue, the book turns into like a heist issue, and it's like getting into Asgardia basically. So the way that happens is that Loki and Lorelei are jumping from a plane down into Asgardia. But they need to distract Heimdall because he could just see everything, right? Mm-hmm. So Thor ends up distracting Heimdall with a big fight out in space with like this weird techno alien species. And he's like creating such a big distraction that Loki and Lorelei can drop in from that plane.
Lorelei,
sorry.
You're good.
And there's like
a little... I like that you've been like saying in your head Lorelei like this whole week.
I have. And then you just fucked me up. It's hard to pivot like that.
Yeah, no, I know.
There's a flashback where Loki's like telling Thor about his plan for him and says that he wants to get into Asgardia because it's suspicious that all the All-Mothers or the All-Mother is bringing in Asgardians. So that's why it's happening. But I think it's kind of funny that they pulled like a made you look on Heimdall mm-hmm. who can like see everything.
Because they're moving really fast. So he'd only have like a split opportunity to see them.
Yeah.
Drop
from like the plane.
Yeah.
So there's also like the Watcher who like watches over things, right? And I think the Watchers, yeah, on the moon.
Okay.
The Watchers might only watch over like Earth, but now Asgardia is on Earth. So do you think that Heimdall, who sees everything, is looking at the Watcher who's looking down on Earth?
He could if he wanted to, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, because he can see like all the realms or whatever.
Yeah.
So
there should be a Heimdall book. I would read that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, actually, think about it.
He just stands there, doesn't he?
Yeah, on like the fucking rainbow bridge and
but
shit.
What if he doesn't stand there and he does something? I would read that book.
Yeah, it obviously, if there was one, there might be one where he's just pulled away for a second.
Or it could be just like an anthology where Heimdall's like, look at this. It's like, it's like an interdimensional television thing, like from Rick and Morty. Like, it could be like that.
Dude, that'd be great.
Yeah.
No, dude, like, I feel like every, like, Thor movie, something happens because Heimdall just looks away for a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like, they've done that.
I fucking love Heimdall in the movies, too.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's, like, such a cool character.
Yeah, dude. What's his name? Idris Elba?
Idris Elba, yeah.
Love that guy.
Other tangent. In
love him.
Jason Aaron's Thor event, it's called, like, the War of Realms.
Uh-huh.
Daredevil ends up getting Heimdall's like sword or whatever, and he becomes like the watcher dude, but he's the guy that can hear everything because he's blind, and I think that that's kind of funny.
That's dumb as fuck.
He looks really cool.
Wait, he can hear everything throughout the dimensions,
correct? Which is just as good as seeing everything.
Does he get like souped up somehow, like to where his hearing's even better?
Yeah, because he's got the big sword
that makes you better.
I can't remember how he gets the powers, but he's,
I mean,
but it's Daredevil with a big sword, Daniel. What else do you want?
Because that one dude who plays like Billy Butcher in like Ragnarok, he's just like takes over the job, so he does like the thing.
Yeah, he like turns the sword,
so he, it must be in the sword.
What's that actor's name again? He's in The Boys.
That's what I just said. Billy Butcher. Fucking
oh man, it's my brain's tired, hold on.
Carl Urban.
Yeah.
Carl Urban.
Yes.
It's,
good job. Good job. Thanks. Anyway, back to the book. So that was step one.
I just kept... I rewatched Ragnarok, and I just kept hearing Billy Butcher.
Yeah, yeah. And he looks so ridiculous bald.
Oh, yeah. He's got the roundest head I've ever seen. It's a fucking globe, that dude's head.
It really is.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that was step one, distracting Heimdall. So step two is to make it through Asgardia's deadly traps, which is a big room with a bunch of traps. But the gimmick is that some of the deadly traps are actually illusions and some of them are not. So Loki basically FaceTimes Verity Willis to help them navigate through all the fake ones because she can see through the lies.
I didn't realize that that's what was happening.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
So, yeah.
So another thing that happens in modern comic books, they're forcing a lot of modern technology and then probably have references to like social media.
Oh, yeah. I hate when like...
Like, imagine if you read fucking, like, Batgirl, like, that one where, she, like, the cover is just her taking a selfie in a mirror.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's riddled with them.
I hate when, like, they don't use the actual company names. Like, if they're going to say, like, oh, I got to post this on Twifter
or yeah, whatever. Or it's, like...
Or on...
Cheekbook or something.
Cheekbook sounds like a Facebook for porn stars.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's like no profile pictures. It's yeah, just a butt shot.
Yeah. Just put your ass cheeks.
You have to like guess who it is if you want to be their friend.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
But yeah, that stuff kind of bothers me too. Because in The Nice House on the Lake, that's a DC Black Label book. They say Twitter, they say Snapchat, Instagram, like all that. They're not like restricted against it. So I know that that's not like...
Do you think it's because it's Black Label?
I don't think so.
You think it's a DC thing?
I think it's like they just don't want to deal with it, so they just call it something else. But in Marvel, there's like a Twitter that's called something else.
Twatter?
Definitely not. That sounds wrong as well.
Wait, no, is it like Twitter or something? Or like...
Tweet? It might be like...
Or Tweety? Something like that?
It is. It's like very
It's
close.
Like another bird.
And you like, you know, so it doesn't yeah, matter. But
anyway.
It kind of bothers me. Or it takes me out of it at least. But anyway. So they make it through this trap room. And
it is kind of dumb to think about, like, all right, they got through the only obstacle, which is just this room.
Also Heimdall, but yeah. Then yeah, the third obstacle is a big gate that they say is impregnable, which is a weird word.
Yeah, I wanted to look up the root word preg and just see what that meant.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay.
Because like pregnable, you think like pregnant, and then you think like someone knocking somebody up. It's just very weird. So yeah, that's like their next thing. It's impregnable, but thank God Sigurd is already on the inside, so he just opens it from the inside. I guess he's not in a cell. I don't know why he's not in a cell, but he just opens it for him. So it turns out that was part of the plan too, since ever since Loki and Sigurd fell into the dumpster, that was when he decided to explain to Sigurd that this is what our plan is. So act like you're killing me right now, I guess.
Right.
And the stabbing through the dumpster, which had blood, was actually from a ketchup bottle from not Heinz. It was from Odin's. I don't know if you caught that.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Yeah, look. Instead of it being like Heinz across the top, it just says Odin's.
Damn, that'd be such a dumb thing to own. Like, why is this ketchup bottle say Odin's on it? Like, you wouldn't get it.
It's the Marvel Heinz, Daniel. They don't have Heinz in Marvel. So Sigurd just lets him in, and then both him and Lorelai leave. So, Lorelai.
So, for some reason, impregnable means unable to be captured or broken into. But I don't know how that... why preg is like in there. Or they could just said like invulnerable or impenetrable.
Yeah, that's probably what I would have preferred.
But I guess impenetrable, maybe it's like means like penetrate, but I don't know why like pregnant would mean penetrate.
It would feel still better if I think if they did penetrate.
Yeah.
As like the root.
If
the
they said word. Impenetrability or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
I'm like, that's hard.
I wouldn't think about banging.
Seems like a sick door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are we?
So Sigurd and Lorelai leave because they're like, I did everything I did was supposed to. So now inside of this place, Loki finds old Loki, who's apparently behind all of the All-Mother decisions or something, or they're scared of like the future. So they get into a fight. Loki stabs evil Loki or old Key.
Old Key?
Does that work?
Yeah.
So Loki stabs old Key with the Gram, but it does nothing because old Key knows that he's the villain already and he enjoys it. Like, that's definitely his truth, so it doesn't really do much. Then the All Mother shows up, demands the truth, where old Key explains that Asgard's fate will eventually be under rule by King Thor, and then Loki is going to be the villain later. And then young Loki asks the All Mother why they would work with evil Loki, to which they say it's basically about security and avoiding Ragnarok, because they want the King Thor stuff to happen. So they're working with him to make sure it happens, is basically the idea.
Yeah, so did he travel through time again?
He just knows what's happening in the future.
Okay.
I don't know why. Don't ask me why. But that does happen in the future, because King Thor
is a book.
Is absolutely a thing. And there's like three other girls that are there in like that little flashback. Those are like his daughters or something.
Oh, dope.
And so, yeah, all that actually happens like years later, which is kind of cool. In hindsight, like, because I've read this already, or I've read all of the Thor stuff already. So Jason Aaron's had this like planned for forever.
So,
and he told, I guess, Al Ewing, like, this is what we're building up to. So if you want to reference it, you can, which is what he does.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole plot of the whole thing,
I guess.
So did they need all the Asgardians there just to protect from Ragnarok?
I don't know. I think we find out later, because young Loki basically just gets fed up or whatever, and then he leaves back to his apartment, and he's like, all right, I'm back in my apartment, and he looks in the mirror, and then old Key is there in the mirror, and he's like, there's going to be some bad stuff coming, and that's it, really. Like, nothing really gets resolved. I don't know why all the Asgardians are supposed to go to Asgard, but that's it.
So, question.
Okay.
So, Thor has some daughters, right?
Sure.
So, what's their last name?
Thorson. I don't know, actually.
No, would it be Thor daughter?
I think they're nieces, actually.
Nieces?
Yeah.
Because like, it's Odin's son, because they're the son.
Correct.
Would it be Thor daughter?
They're definitely nieces. I think I messed up saying that they were daughters.
Thor niece is cooler. It sounds like a name.
Thor niece.
Rather than Thor daughter.
But yeah, those characters are really good. But you don't... At the time of reading this, like if you're reading this issue when it first came out, that shit wouldn't make sense at all.
Yeah, it didn't.
Because that doesn't end up happening for like 5 more years.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of crazy. But then, I guess it is kind of cool in hindsight, knowing that it was always going to build up to something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
And then there's no back matter, Nathan.
There's no goddamn back matter.
Again? Are you shitting me?
They even had the variants, but they just put them in between the issues. So
I would rather them just be at the end.
Have it be a one pager at the end of just... variants.
I know, cool, man. With it,
but we don't get nothing. So yeah,
I'm pissed.
I would. So like, Loki's kind of a character that I'm sure is super hard to write, because he's like mysterious and like what his motivations are, and it feels like it's kind of moving back and forth between him being like a bad guy and him being a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel like we got a whole lot of that. We just got a good guy Loki and a bad guy Loki.
Yeah,
which is kind of like not what I was expecting. So I guess overall, if I were to rate this book, I would just say it's like a like it with some sprinkles.
I'd say like a like it with like 3 toppings.
Okay.
So like we got like M&Ms, maybe some sprinkles, depends on how I'm feeling. I never really go for sprinkles.
So you did kind of enjoy the book.
Maybe like some Oreos, Yeah. Like that they crunch up.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. And some Reese's, that'd slap.
So you liked it?
Yeah, yeah. I liked it overall. Well,
it is a very like
the continuity. Parts that I liked overall, it was just fine kind of thing.
It is like a very continuity heavy book, and I feel like for something to be like a gotta have it, it has to like work on its own.
Because that can happen.
Which is why trades are so interesting, because sometimes they are this, and it's like if you're not reading literally everything around it, some of it doesn't make sense.
Which is not a good comic in my head.
Correct. But
that is how like Marvel and DC will like make money, because it's like, oh, you don't get this? Well, read this and money.
That was definitely Marvel's strategy at this time. So I don't think it's anything on like Al Ewing or anything, but... And Lee Garbett's like a great artist.
Oh yeah, he killed this.
I think he definitely carried a lot of the book for me, because his stuff is really interesting to like look at.
Yeah.
Like there's even points where like Old Key was like, he was like in a cell and he was like, I'm bored of this, and he like leaves. Mm-hmm. But like he's walking off of the page, like literally.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
There's like some really creative stuff like that happens in the book where I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. Like, so I think that Lee Garbett is like a big part of this.
I think
me like enjoying it.
Yeah, know? For sure. I love him. He was actually like credited on like the Loki show.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is cool. I think if like issue 3 like was like the other issues, this would be like a sample spoon.
Cool.
But the third one really like kicked it up for me.
There's a really cool character in the Thor book who's basically just like, he's a god, but he's just like a librarian. So he's got this big ass huge library.
Oh yeah, I know.
All of these like Norse fables and stuff.
That yeah, are going on. Is he like protect them or something?
He protects them. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that because Thor was trying to find out what gods are missing or something, right?
Correct.
And so he went to the library.
Yeah, because you read the first hardcover of Jason Aaron's run?
First and second trade. I didn't get.
Yeah, so far. You would have seen him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a tentacly man, or he's got like.
I don't remember him, but I do remember the character, like that he was there. Remember the library more than anything.
The big library, yeah.
Big library.
So, yeah. So I guess with that, we'll just go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
We got tons of stuff.
We got Geiger 3.
Yes.
We got Black Hammer Visions 5.
Oh, I missed that.
We got... Spider-Man Shadow 3.
Okay, cool.
And then Rorschach 9.
I'm just now discovering I haven't picked up number 2 for Spider-Man Shadow.
Oh my goodness.
So I need to go find that. I actually haven't gone to the comic shop yet because I was busy yesterday. I tried to go before coming here because they close at 8. And mm-hmm. I got there. Turns out they don't close at 8. They were already closed, even though the sign on the door said open. So
are you sure they were closed?
Yeah, the guys, there's two guys in there. And they're like counting money and they're like, they like gave me like a hand gesture like nah. So I was a little bummed by that, so I'm gonna try and go tomorrow, I guess.
Just lift up your card, like I'm paying with card, like
yeah. Well, and like the sign I was like says open, so
I'd be pissed.
I was a little angry, to be honest,
because that's
I
happened to me before, not the comic shop, but like that
I think,
just sucks.
I think they're still in like limited hours but it just doesn't show on Google, so I was a little annoyed, I guess, but
right.
Oh well, I'll go tomorrow, life goes on. But I did read Geiger number 2 this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
how you feeling about it?
I really liked issue 1, didn't really like issue 2 that much, so I will pick up issue 3 just to see if I'm gonna keep going with it. But like issue 2 had a lot of it didn't center around Tariq, who's the big glowy man, and I just want to know more about the big glowy man.
Mm-hmm.
Give me glowy man stuff.
You can't get everything you want, Nathan.
It was more like world building, I guess, which is fine, but it's just, it was like, to me it was just all right.
Okay.
But Gary Frank is pretty awesome. So
I read Silver Coin number 1.
Nice. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool. About a dude in a band. I'm like, this is sick.
I know. I read it, and like the music in comics can be really hard because if someone's like singing a song and you don't know the song specifically, it can be like hard to get what the tempo is if you're trying to like sing it in your head, you know?
Yeah.
But I think in Silver Coin, like
they're just saying it's like a punk band or something.
It was just like a punk band, and like it was big loud lettering like behind them when they were playing music, and it like just it gave that sort of like ambiance.
Yeah. And then like everything like around them, because when they start like playing guitar with the silver coin, they're just better.
Yeah.
And like I've played guitar with a coin before, it does not sound good.
No, you don't want to. It fucks up your strings too, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, over time. And but like what really fucked me up is like he kept playing. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. He kept playing, and like for some reason, his like finger got all chewed up
because he couldn't stop playing.
Oh, yeah, then, the way he was holding it. And so it got all raw, and like piece chunks of his finger were like coming off.
Yeah.
And he just kept fucking playing, and there's blood all over his
guitar.
Couldn't
stop rocking.
And then everyone just caught on fire.
Yeah.
It was like, awesome. This is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then the whole venue like burns down.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fire team was like, no one looks like they're trying to escape. So they all must have been like high or something.
Yeah.
And then out of the rubble is just the dudes like burnt up, like,
With the silver coin.
And I'm like, this shit's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. I like that that's the through line, is like the silver coin. So like we're following the silver coin and how it like is fucking up other people's lives. It's awesome.
Yeah. So that's cool. I think it's a couple more issues have come out, right?
Number three, I think, is the latest one.
Okay. Yeah. So
I definitely
catch up on that.
I haven't read issue two yet, but
I've read more Sweet Tooth.
Because
I still had it downloaded on my phone.
I planned on doing that too, actually.
So. Dude. It's like the same pacing. So I like blew through most of it. Like,
cool.
In like 30 minutes. Because like we downloaded like the deluxe version.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, good shit.
I read another.
Dude,
thing.
It gets into like Jeopard origin. It's cool. Fucking good.
Isn't he like a hockey man?
Yeah,
plays hockey.
But in the show, he's like a football player.
Which makes sense, because...
Yeah, he's...
Fuck Canadian sports.
Yeah.
Jeff Lemire, you Canadian? Come on.
Yeah, he's America.
Yeah.
He's an American
show. We play football.
Yeah. Netflix is American.
Yeah. So, what was the other issue I read? I read the next issue of Tom Taylor and Adam Kubert's Batman detective story.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's in, like, London. It's still pretty cool.
Okay.
The idea is that there's people that are killing all the people that Batman has saved, which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so he has to like try and stop them before they kill like the next people.
That's annoying.
And it's kind of cool because one of the people that he saved is actually a villain, and he has to like kind of work with that villain because he's like one of the best like hitmen, or like the best one of the people that can like track somebody down, bounty hunter, something like that. So he has to like work with him, and it's pretty cool at this point.
Private investigator?
No. I wouldn't say that. It's like a hitman. Like, he's a villain because he's like kills people and stuff, but he's good at finding people, which is why he needs to work with them.
Okay.
So, good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's set in London. There's not like a huge reason for why that is yet, but it's cool seeing him in a different scenario.
For sure.
So I like that.
But
those are the only two comics I read this week. I was busy.
Did you watch anything?
I watched tons, Daniel.
Watched tons?
Yeah.
I watched one thing. I watched, since you have so many things, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
I watched The Conjuring 3.
Oh, good?
Pretty good. Cool. I mean, like, I forgot what happens in, like, the first and second one, so I can't remember how good they were in order to compare this to them.
First one was kind of fun.
I remember liking them a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, like, that was, like, when I was in high school.
You know what I mean? True.
But if I was just, like, thinking about it on its own and other horror movies that come up, pretty good.
It seemed like for a third horror movie, it seemed like it had a lot of, like, legs, you know? That's not what the saying is. It seems like it was good.
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
For a third horror movie, so that's cool. Did you see it in theaters? Or?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was on HBO, and I just went to the theaters.
Hmm.
I mean, you gotta see a scary movie in theaters.
That's true.
It wasn't like that scary, though, which is kind of a bummer. Like, not a lot of jump scares.
Okay.
So I felt real manly. I was like, nothing scares me.
Yeah.
But
I love when horror movies have the tagline just based off true events, and I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah, dude. And then I don't know if they do this in the other movies, but at the end they played like the actual like recording of
which
like
is cool.
An exorcism that happens. I'm like, oh, fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
Relieving.
That seems wild.
Anyway, what did you watch?
I watched Bo Burnham's Inside.
Oh.
Which is really impressive.
Right?
And the visuals are great. The songs are pretty awesome.
Yeah, dude.
And I think my favorite one's like the one about the internet.
I like the sexting one.
That one's so good.
That one's like the funniest.
And like the visuals where it's just like balls, and it's like the projector just has the word balls projecting on him.
Yeah.
Like the lighting and stuff is like really impressive.
All the production and like editing and shit is awesome.
Yeah. And there's like a good mix of fun and then like tragic, which is like appropriate, but I felt like it was ending for 30 minutes. Did you feel that too?
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, it's about to end on like a weird, eerie note. And it's like, oh no, here's like 20 more minutes of things where it feels like it's going to end that whole time. So I guess that's my only like criticism. if you could even call it that, but
yeah, I think I'd had different expectations going into it.
Yeah.
Like thinking it was more like comedy driven, which it obviously wasn't.
Yeah.
Is a bit of a downer in some areas, but like I still like enjoyed that as a musician. I'm like, these songs are great.
They're really good. Yeah.
And so it's like, and Sarah didn't really like it because she just wanted to laugh at something, but there, and then she left for the sexting one. Like she wasn't, she went and did something in the other room. I'm like, you're missing all the best stuff.
Yeah.
Cause it was like the funniest stuff was like in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of, it was kind of like in the middle. Cause it starts off weird and ends kind of weird, but
yeah,
the best stuff is in the middle. Like I really like the, it felt like the one that was like about the corporations like taking a stance on like ethical matters or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, he was like, us as wheat thins really hate disease.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I really liked that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. I'm glad you saw it. So you understand like all like the TikToks about it.
All the memes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the ones that I'm seeing referenced are like not his best songs.
So the one that the one that's like Get Your Hands Up or whatever.
Yeah.
I think as far as which song out of these is a banger, it's that one.
Mm-hmm.
Where like his voice is like pitched down.
Yeah.
And then in the chorus it looks like he has like some sort of like octave pedal on or yeah, some sort see, of like one, chorus thing.
That one I think is just like all right.
I think that's the one that's been like most stuck in my head. Mostly because they use it most.
Yeah, probably.
But like I wouldn't like listen to these
in, I wouldn't like, either
in the car or something unless I listen to like all of it.
He's I guess he's having the album come out pretty soon on like Spotify, which is kind of
that's
neat.
Probably smart.
So yeah,
because anyway, the visuals kind of carry that as well, like
definitely. Yeah,
the music is
that
like
was like one of the funnest parts.
Yeah, it was super cool.
So yeah, I also finished the rest of MODOK.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I've only watched the first two episodes.
It was just easy for me to watch something because I didn't want to do anything on sure. Sunday. So
nice.
It's pretty good. It is exactly what you think it is. So uh-huh. If you want more of that, then it's pretty great. But
just
I did end up liking like the whole story of like the season, which is his like family going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So that stuff doesn't like just go away, and they add some interesting elements to it. So
okay.
I did really like that.
That's good rather than it just being like what happens in this episode
kind of thing. Like there's a scene where there's a villain in Marvel that's like an actual thing. I think his name is like Arcade or something.
Okay. He
creates copies of MODOK's whole family and no one knows who's a robot or who's real. And they have like 15 minutes to figure out who's a robot and who's real. And the way that they figure out is like different for each of the different family members. And so like for one family member, it's really funny. But for the mom who's like responsible, like there's a easy way that like they figure it out. So it does get like they're put in interesting situations, and it does make me laugh every once in a while. But yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. So I ended up liking it by the end.
Yeah, I think I was gonna just kind of shotgun it, and like
I would never like recommend it to somebody, I don't think, because you have to like know what it is in order to enjoy it.
I think if maybe someone's like a fan of like Robot Chicken or something,
yeah,
they're like, hey, this is like the same thing.
Yeah, like I'm glad it exists because it's a really unique format for Marvel stuff.
Yeah,
so it's cool that they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good stuff. And then I just watched Sweet Tooth and Loki.
Yeah, I only watched the first episode of Sweet Tooth.
Dude, it is so good.
Dude, it's like it looks like a movie because I started watching it. I'm like, is this a movie?
Yeah,
because it just like I don't know the cinematography. I guess
it's a lot different from the comic, obviously, because the comic's kind of straightforward.
Yeah, they
but
get to
it's
things.
Not, it, and it's like a little bit more lighthearted, almost.
Yeah, 100%.
And
because like,
but it's not to its detriment at all. Like it's like the tone of it is like they nailed it. Like from the get go, you're like, okay, I know what this is kind of like about. It's like about Gus, like. Growing as like a person now that he's like on his own, he's like his own man kind of deal. It's really good.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I liked like the first episode that I watched.
And like his dad isn't
his dad's depressing. A lot nicer, and he's not like super crazy like religious dude.
He just cares about his son like a lot, and then he ends up dying for his son. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
There's like a bit where like after his dad dies, you don't see him like burying him or anything.
No.
And so he like comes into the house all excited about something.
And you think that it's his dad.
Yeah, I thought it was his body sat up at the kitchen table, but no, it was like a scarecrow or something.
I thought the same
thing. I watched that with Serena and she's like, oh. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, that would have been.
That would have been so fucking dark.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a fucking twist here.
I think Jeppard is casted super well.
Yeah, I like him. He's in Game of Thrones. And so
cool.
I liked his character in that.
Yeah. He's like a football player in this, and I think he looks like a football player for sure.
Yeah.
And then like his attitude and stuff throughout the series, it's different in this because he doesn't he's not trying to take Gus.
Yeah.
He just kind of try to leave him alone. He's like trying to get rid of him, and that's kind of like what it is like throughout the series so far.
Yeah. Now that I've read a bit more of it, I'm excited to see how they kind of take that.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen the first episode, I feel like I know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But
so yeah, I really like him a lot. His character becomes really cool. I'm 4 or 5 episodes in, so I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
But I'm still going strong with it for sure.
Yeah, we should try and finish that just so we can kind of talk about it.
I think that the narrator is like a little cheesy.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like the guy from like the Ford commercials.
I was thinking of like.
Or like a nice Christmas movie.
Yeah, like a Christmas movie or like fucking Winnie the Pooh or something.
Yeah.
I think I'd prefer that over like Gus narrating.
Yeah, true. True.
The thing is like with Sweet Tooth, it definitely had like the book, it's much darker tone.
For sure.
And it's kind of, you're just kind of scared for Gus like the entire time.
Yeah, true.
And I think this would work better for like the popular, you know, viewers or whatever. Or
if it was darker?
No, the way that they went with it.
Like, oh, yeah.
The lighthearted shit. Because like people actually consider Sweet Tooth like a horror book. Like it's in that category around Halloween and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think this is probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't change anything about it.
In order to get like a second season or something like that.
And there's also like other areas that they are exploring, like outside of just Gus's story. There's like the doctor. I don't know if you've seen him yet. Dr. Singh.
Dr. Singh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got some interesting dilemmas.
Okay.
And I actually really like when there's like his part of the story. Like I'm not like, come on, just like bring me back to Gus and Jeppard. Like I like seeing his choices they ask to make.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
There's a lot more expansion on like how the whole thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
true. Yeah.
The breakout or whatever.
So yeah, I'm very excited to finish it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then Loki.
Loki, sir.
Yeah, that's why we read this book in the first place.
Indeed.
Spoilers all the way through for this. It just came out on Wednesday, which is yesterday for us.
We'll come out every Wednesday.
Yep. Which, I mean, I already had enough to do on Wednesday. Why do they got to do one on Wednesdays?
you gotta finish reading on Tuesday, watch Loki on Wednesday, pod Thursday.
It's crazy. So it's a solid first episode for sure.
Yeah, it definitely just set up like what the TVA is.
Yeah.
And
the time variance
like
association.
I was like, I don't think I was struggling, but like because of the concept, it took me a second to grasp what the fuck was happening.
Yeah.
And they like kind of make a point to say like this is how like powerful they are, kind of
exactly
thing.
I like that it just picks up right where Endgame sort of left off.
It's yeah, they even
like,
show
oh, he's
that
like,
bit.
Oh, look the cube, and then he like goes away, and then just immediately he like crashes in Mongolia, and then he's taken to the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetically, I like the TVA. It just feels like a big like DMV.
I know.
or MVD if you're dumb and live in Arizona. That's what we call it. Do you know that?
An MVD?
An MVD. Motor Vehicle Division or something.
Oh.
So yeah. Yeah, it just looks like a DMV. Like this all powerful, all crazy stuff.
You have to take a number.
But there's also a guy that like probably does... He uses like a fax machine like in the back. And just cubicles and shit. So I really like that aesthetic of it.
Yeah, there's a cool bit where there was like explaining what they are in like this animated little thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was helpful.
It looks like a Hanna-Barbera thing, but apparently there was a multiverse war and they like animated that in like these cute little cartoons, and I'm like, hold on, what?
They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And it's like all this shit happened before everything and anything, and now it's just one fixed timeline.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a cool idea that there's like a multiverse war, and now that's why this association exists.
Yeah.
But who decides what goes and what doesn't?
I think we might figure that out, but if we don't, I
there's
think
like
that's
the
fine.
Three lizard men looking dudes that are like, this is the timeline or whatever.
This is what shall be.
This is the right way.
But then like
the whole
outside of this department is like a whole fucking city, which is nuts.
Yeah, what is that?
I was like,
about?
What's out there? who are these people?
You know, at first I was like,
and I guess there's a department for nightmares. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, how much do these people control?
At the time I was watching it, I'm like, oh, the TVA is pretty big, but you're probably right. Those are just a million different departments, huh?
Maybe. It makes sense, like, because Owen Wilson seemed, like, important, but he was just in this one building.
Yeah, true.
And so
I love his character.
He's the best part.
Acts really good in it, and, like, he has, like, a really good his acting is really good for just, like, not taking Loki seriously.
Yeah.
Because Loki's like, I'm a god, I shouldn't be here. And he's like, oh, yeah, you sure are. Yeah. And he's like, tell me about why you're doing all this.
Yeah, and so...
I really like his...
It took me a second to grasp that he isn't, like, the Loki, like, that got killed by Thanos.
Yeah.
He's, like, still, like, Avengers just Loki. Got arrested after the Avengers movie.
I really like that, too.
And so...
Yeah, and... He's just like a younger Loki by 10 years, which there's a lot that apparently happened in like 10 years because there's like Thor 2 and then all the stuff with Ragnarok.
And he was just able to like fast forward through his future and see up to the point he died.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems unhealthy.
It really is.
Maybe be a good guy after
especially
this?
Especially to see both of your parents die.
And then see you die.
Yeah. Yeah. He's lucky that the TVA has Disney Plus, so he could watch all the movies.
Yeah, I know.
But it's funny that, like, obviously it's just, like, the actual clips from, like, those films that are just, like, slightly edited.
Yeah.
And just put in. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Super clever.
All the same shots.
Do you know who D.B. Cooper is?
Yeah.
Is that something that actually happened?
Yeah. He's a guy that hijacked a plane, took money, and then parachuted off of the plane and then was never seen again.
Okay, and so apparently that was Loki the MCU.
Yeah, they're like, that's Loki.
And then when he jumps out, Heimdall just saves him. I'm like, I feel like Heimdall wouldn't help.
Loki like lost a bet to Thor, I guess, which is why that stuff happened. So
threatened a bunch of human lives.
That was a pretty fun part.
Yeah, that was cool.
And so what I don't get, there's this one timeline that's going, right?
Yeah.
And if there's a variant, then there's like a little branch off to the timeline and it goes to like a red line on their little wrist machine. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh no, we can't let it go past the red line. Why not? Because there used to be like a million different timelines, and why does it become a problem when it hits this like red line?
Maybe it's like a point of no return.
But I mean, but like it seems like they were able to fix things pretty easily, so they would just, I don't know.
I guess I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe I missed that bit, but it sounds like it's like a point of no return kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just so that there's like some stakes in this.
Well, remember when Owen Wilson was like first introduced and he was working with this guy and he was talking to like that little girl and the guy was like looking at his wrist and then there's like a little branch off that was going and he's like, we don't have much time, we gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like goes up to the red line. It was referenced like a couple times, but
it's weird for the time cops to be like, we don't have much time. I'm like, you literally only have time. You can choose what part of time you go to.
Yeah, I guess you could go back in time if you wanted to.
Yeah, which is what they do. They do that constantly,
yeah. So it's not clear what happens when it goes past the red line, because there used to be thousands, millions of different timelines, so I don't know why.
I think
a variant being alive for, you know, more than like 20-30 minutes or whatever would be a big problem. So
I have to rewatch like Endgame, because like the Sorcerer Supreme had like the Wise One or whatever,
yeah,
had like a really good explanation of how time works in Marvel.
Yeah,
so I think rewatching that it'll make might click a little bit more.
Maybe.
Did you catch when like Loki just like gets away from Owen Wilson for a second? There's like a portal that opens up in the corner.
No.
And it's like Peggy Carter walking through with somebody?
No.
Yeah, dude, you know how he just like stands there and he's like, where do I go? In the corner, Peggy Carter just walks through a portal with like with the time cop.
In the beginning?
You know, like in the middle after like Owen Wilson like leaves for a second?
Uh-huh.
And then comes back and he's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, Loki like left that room where they have the TV or whatever.
And there's a glimpse of Peggy Carter going through a portal.
Yeah.
So do you think there's going to be reference of like Steve Rogers putting all the Infinity Stones back?
Probably.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I imagine. Because they set up the plot that there was somebody killing all the time cops.
Mm-hmm.
Or they call them Minutemen.
The Minutemen.
And it was actually Loki that was killing them.
Thank God they told us who.
Yeah,
because there would have been so many Mephisto theories that I just don't want to see when I'm scrolling through Twitter.
Yeah,
and that, I'm like, oh my god,
they probably did that. Like, that's just like,
it's not Mephisto, it's Loki. It's fine. No, you don't need to freak it out. That's good. So
anyway, if you, I could probably send you a video of like a clip of the clip of that.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck? Because I don't know if that'd be Captain America taking her to a different timeline.
Maybe Peggy's just helping,
or maybe she's a part of this or something.
I'll have to go back and look. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And another thing I noted was he went back to some dude who was just like at a desk who had the Tesseract that he had when he went in.
He's like, oh yeah,
and they opened up a drawer and it's just full of Infinity Stones.
Yeah,
and I guess like everybody has them and uses them as like paperweights.
Uh huh.
And so like that like level of like power, just like I was like, what?
I don't even know if it's like they have that level of power. It's just that power doesn't work where they are.
Yeah.
So, but
Then again, they have Infinity Stones. So if they went to like the real universe, they could be whatever they wanted.
Yeah, why don't the Time Cops just use that?
Infinity Stones?
Yeah, just take the Infinity Stones, go to Earth.
It's a good point.
Hmm.
I think, I don't know.
I didn't really like that part, because I'm like, Infinity Stones are supposed to be like this crazy thing or whatever, and they kind of like undermine them a little bit.
They undermine like the last 10 years of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I was just like, that's, I mean, it is like a funny joke that it's like, oh yeah, we got them as paperweights, but it's like,
I thought that was, I don't know if they were like, they're not as like
cool, you know, or rare. Almost.
Yeah, no.
So,
but I think that's also showing like this is how high up they are.
That's also true. Yeah.
Like they are like,
I get why they did it. I just thought it was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funnier if he just had like the Tesseract in here and like in his drawer and he's like, "Oh yeah, here you go."
Yeah.
And it was just like wasn't a hard thing at all.
Mhm.
But yeah, pretty good. I'm excited for the rest. It's supposed to be like 8 episodes probably.
I think so. I didn't look into it. You know. I hope so. Let me look it up.
It'll probably be around 8, but yeah, I think that's it for the show this week. Other than finding out what book we're going to read next week, Daniel.
Indeed. Should we?
So we're free men. We can read whatever we want because there's no comic book thing coming out that we'll have to read about.
Incorrect. We have the Eisners. We got to read all the books.
Nathan. All the Eisner books?
Not, well, like maybe like the mini series and then like the ongoing series. And then we can like actually have an opinion based off of when they come out.
We could do one of the best limited series. There's Barbalian, Far Sector, Decorum by John Hickman, Superman's Pal, and We Live.
Oh, it's 6 episodes.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not very long at all.
I mean, that's what the Fat W's were.
Hmm.
All right, sorry. You want to do just a limited series?
We could do one of the limited series, or we could do one of the best continuing series. Like, we could do Bitterroot, which would be probably a pretty cool one.
But I'm asking you, like, from now until, like, the awards, I think we should do, like, as many as possible. Like,
yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
But yeah, let's do Bitterroot. I've heard a lot of things. It's getting a movie adaptation, so I think it'd be kind of cool.
Bitterroot, let's do it.
Let's do it. So that will be what we read next week. So that's the show for this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. If you want to reach out to us and say that we're dumb or tell us how you pronounce Lorelei or Lorelei.
Can you tell us if we can play Sly Cooper on PS4 or PS5?
Yeah, tell us if you've played Sly Cooper and if we can play it on newer generations.
I'd appreciate it.
And you can do that by emailing us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or at tradewaiterspod on Twitter. And I'm at more like Nathick on Twitter.
I think mine's like Dandan Natividad.
Dandan Natividad on Twitter. And that is the show for this week, Indeed. Everybody. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye. We love you.
We sure do.